Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Of all the new head coaches that have been introduced, Perloff, over the last few days, Pete Carroll with the Raiders is by far the most interesting to me. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You can keep your Dallas Cowboys with Brian Schottenheimer.
That one for sure.
Yawn. Liam Cohen with the Jaguars. He's
spicy.
Got a lot to prove. We have no idea, really. He's no track record, very little track record in the NFL, and no track record as a head coach ever on any level. You know, we'll see about Aaron Glenn and the Jets, but, you know, the Jets are where all coaches kind of go to flounder and flop around, and we'll see what happens with Aaron Rodgers of it all. But see, here's the Carroll thing that's interesting. You know, Pete Carroll's 73 years old.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know it by looking at him. He's got so much energy, so much enthusiasm, looks 50. And he is saying yesterday that this team has to win right away. And if you had just told me Pete Carroll's coming, it's going to take a couple years, he's going to build up the culture, you know, figure out what's happening with the quarterback situation. But that was far from the message that came from Las Vegas yesterday. It was, I don't have that kind of time, not because of his health or anything, just because I think the vibe in the Raiders is we can have a quick fix here, and I don't see what that quick fix is.
I don't. Yeah, definitely not. I actually didn't think you were going that direction because you sounded excited about Carroll.
Well, I am, but...
But, yeah, no, it's again, Tom Brady's going to solve this quarterback thing. I think that's too hard. I don't even know if Tom Brady, even if he turns out to be the best executive ever, sometimes this quarterback thing comes down to luck.
Mm-hmm. Ask John
Andrew
Elway
luck,
about it.
Like Andrew
Luck.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to think your way into a solution at this position. You kind of have to stink and get a high draft pick in the right year.
Well, and that's not really where the Raiders are, unfortunately. Yeah,
unfortunately, exactly. Well, they just missed where they need to be.
And that was last year. You know, I think they had an opportunity, but they
they could have at least fully tanked this year and got in the Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders business. But they didn't even, you know, Antonio Pierce wanted to win too badly.
Well, the other part, too, is I'm sure Antonio Pierce thought that this is the only way I keep my job. Lo and behold, he wasn't keeping the job anyway. You know, we'll see about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. These are definitely the two guys who are the best of this class, but they wouldn't have been at the top of last year's class if they were coming out last year. And I just don't know if there's the slam dunk, wow, look at Jaden Daniels coming off a Heisman, and wow, look at Caleb Williams, the promised one, and even Drake May, who's got all the tools and intangibles. I don't think there's that kind of excitement over Shedeur and Cam Ward. I think there's a lot of, we'll wait and see with Shedeur. How is Deion going to get involved in this? And we know we haven't heard the last of Deion. Is he going to try to steer him to a team? And for Cam, fantastic year with Miami, record-setting year, but there are questions whether he holds on to the ball too long and all the other football things that we ask about guys at that level.
I mean, Cam Ward started out as the quarterback at Incarnate Word in San Antonio. He's definitely got an unusual path here. I think that the deal with Shedeur is he hasn't played consistent top competition. You know, it's a Big 12 quarterback. Back to the Raiders for a second. My biggest issue with all of this, and you made a compelling case for Pete Carroll, it's that division. Mm-hmm. Like, it is such a hard assignment, even for Tom Brady, even for Pete Carroll. How do you build a winner when you have Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, and Andy Reid staring at you? I almost feel like Tom Brady should have bought into another team.
I don't think that opportunity was there. I don't think his relationship with the Krafts is, I don't think it's leading towards partial ownership. And you mentioned it, Kansas City 15-2 this year. They're going to the Super Bowl for the third straight time. Chargers 11-6.
Well, against all awful teams, but yes.
Denver Broncos 10-7.
Again, against a terrible schedule, but yes.
Okay, well, the Raiders had that schedule and they went 4-13.
Well, I think the issue about Harbaugh and Payton is they're just going to get better and better and better as they build their rosters. So you're going to take, it's going to be a tough assignment. The goal to have Pete Carroll is you win immediately. Like, man, you're going to need some time here.
Here is Pete Carroll from yesterday, his introductory press conference with the Raiders, saying how they are trying to win right away.
y'all wondering about timelines and all that. It took us a few years to get to the very top of the last couple programs I was with. We're starting right now, going for it immediately. We don't have some timeline. We got to make it 5 or 6 years down the road. That's not what we're thinking. We're going to start right now to go after it and build this team as quickly as we can.
Yeah, again, I love Pete Carroll as a coach, but it sounds like they're looking for shortcuts, band-aids. Mm-hmm. Like, are they trying to do one of those, oh, we're going to build a dream team through free agency, something your Philadelphia Eagles mm-hmm. did to notable, what's the opposite of acclaim? and we were never able to live up to those expectations. Yeah. I feel like he's setting himself up here for, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like this is the way. He already laid it out. How we did it at USC, how we did it in Seattle. It took a long time. Yeah. And so now I'm going to throw all of that out the window, and I'm going to try to make this happen in the next, 12 to 24 months?
Yeah, I mean, and this is a long time ago, so I might have it a little wrong. But I think when Belichick got to New England, he brought in all sorts of special teams players. He built around the margins. I remember, I don't know if Izzo was there, but you think of that first Patriots team, they were built like top to bottom. It wasn't like they brought in high dream team names, but they brought in all these free agents who played the right way. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what Pete Carroll's talking about. We're going to, let's see, he started, and he did have pretty quick success in Seattle. He started out in 2010, 7-9, then another 7-9 year, then 11-5, 13-3. So maybe if you did 3 years, I'm sure Raiders fans would take that. If he's talking about next year, that's impossible.
I don't know who's playing quarterback for the Raiders, no. But I'll tell you what, hearing them yesterday, it makes me think that they're going to be someone who goes after a Sam Darnold, or who else is even, Kirk Cousins, somebody who's going to be on the market who has some kind of experience. Because if you're going to lay out that kind of timeline, then you're not looking in the draft, that's for sure.
No, and I don't think they have, I mean, the draft would be, is that Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart? There really isn't an obvious choice. And Jalen Milroe, say you did draft him at number 6 overall, he's not going to be ready to go immediately. So timeline-wise, it doesn't work out at all.
855-212-4227. Curious to hear from the Raider fans. It's funny because I think you got this big buildup of Pete Carroll taking the job. Exciting, exciting, finally an adult in the room, all that. Not that Antonio Pierce wasn't an adult, but you know what I mean. Finally get someone with a winning pedigree as a coach in the room. That's how I should have put that. But then you hear the message yesterday is we're going to win right away and we're going to build this thing. How? You don't have a roster that's anywhere close to being this type of contender. I mean, you don't even have Davante Adams still on the roster. Like, I don't see...
You got Max Crosby and that's it. And Colton Miller, I guess, is a good lineman. But hey, let me ask you a question. What do you think about the Brady of it all? Do you think he can pull a miracle out of the bag? I mean, they found him in the 6th round. Maybe he'll find somebody like himself.
I mean, Brady's one of the all-time stories. That's like to say you're going to replicate Brady or maybe Pete Carroll replicating Russell Wilson and finding him round. Into a later round. But again, you're telling your fan base we're going to win right away. And then you're going to say, by the way, we're going to do it with a Jackson Dart?
Well, maybe. I mean, who knows?
Okay, but what great infrastructure does this rookie quarterback have around him? We just talked about the team doesn't have a ton of talent. So that's what I'm curious about. There was a surprise moment yesterday in Pete Carroll's press conference.
Okay. Yeah,
he's up there with John Spytek, who's also the general manager, was Brady's teammate at Michigan and actually the guy who recruited Brady to go to Tampa Bay, and that worked out well for everybody. But all of a sudden, here comes some disruption from the back of the room.
And here in Las Vegas, to do it in this setting right here, where people can't wait to come see us, they can't wait to see what we're all about, wherever our fans come from, we do want to fill our stadium up with our guys. I know that we have a good draw for people from out of town. There you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, Mark, settle down a little bit.
So that was Pete Carroll. Give you a guess who was screaming Raiders? I thought they let someone in from the black hole.
Take care of y'all chicken.
Yep, Marshawn Lynch.
Take care of y'all mantles.
You know, maybe things have been patched up with those Seahawks teams because I thought there was still some lingering animosity because of what happened against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But if Marshawn Lynch is at the introductory press conference and Russell Wilson is talking about how he's talked to Pete Carroll lately, then maybe it is water under the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, there are all reports that Russell tried to get Pete Carroll fired in Seattle, which was the next generation of Seattle issues. I didn't know that. Were Lynch and Carroll at odds? I know he didn't hand the ball to him. I know Sherman hated Carroll. He's talked about, or Sherman was mad at everybody. Marshawn Lynch has never been, that guy's never mad at anyone. He seems to be like the happiest guy in America.
Well, considering that Super Bowl, he definitely walked off the field before the game was over.
Oh, yeah, but
He told Shannon Sharp on his podcast that he thinks that the Seahawks could have been a dynasty that got cut short because the team could never come back together fully after the Malcolm Butler at the goal line Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. I actually was aware because he just seems so jolly all the time. He's like, you know, he's always showing up everywhere, being happy. Sherman, Richard Sherman spends hours and hours and hours just eviscerating everyone. I thought Marshawn Lynch, I'm not surprised, it obviously grew up in Oakland. I guess that's, he's a Raiders fan, I'm imagining.
Yeah, Richard Sherman, I think, maybe originally took the job with Amazon just as a platform to throw haymakers at Russell Wilson. It's possible. Maybe that's not like 100% of the reason why he took the job, but it was not a non-zero number.
Yeah, that seems to be his jam. But he's actually really good. He had a lot of personal problems, right, when he took that job. But he's very, very good when he has it together. I got a name for quarterback, by the way.
Oh, go ahead. The Raiders were trying to solve their QB problem.
So the hottest name for their OC is Daryl Bevel, right? Longtime offensive coordinator.
Yep.
I think he might have been a head coach at one point. When Brett Favre left the Jets, who did he go to join?
Oh, is it Daryl Bevel?
Daryl Bevel in Minnesota. Who is leaving the Jets now?
Oh, Aaron Rodgers?
I just feel like the warm weather, you know, the activities for older folks. Why not Aaron Rodgers for 1 year with Pete Carroll? If he wants to win instantly, that's the best old quarterback available, him or Kirk Cousins, kind of very similar. Bones. How about Rodgers? I don't know if he's good buddies with Brady. Actually, I have no memory of them hanging out, but why not?
I love it. I think you're right. Now, I'm not sure that the Jets are done with Aaron Rodgers. It seems like the owner was, but maybe not.
I don't think so.
Maybe Rodgers is perfect. I think he and Brady do get along. They did that golf thing together. It was Brady and Rodgers against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
That was very recent,
too. But that was also like to raise money for charity. Who knows if these guys really get along?
No, that the friendships and those charity golf things, like that's why Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are blood brothers. I mean, those guys are closer than anybody. No, and that Bevel runs, I assume, the Packers offense from back in the day. I think this makes perfect sense.
Well, EJ would be happy because it was get Aaron Rodgers out of your hair as a Jets fan.
A bum.
Yeah, get him out.
I do. I mean, listen, the way they're talking about it, I said Sam Darnold or Kirk Cousins, you're right. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is the solution in Las Vegas. I don't hate it. Again, what's the roster around him, though? Like, we just watched Aaron Rodgers with the Jets with a not terrible roster, and they couldn't do diddly.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, he would be crazy to take this job and go to be the Raiders' quarterback.
Well, one thing, it is indoors.
That's the only thing that I thought about that thought would be good for him. And then you got a game on the road against the Chargers every year, which is also indoors. So there's that aspect, but we talk about the offensive line's okay, so that's one good thing, but they don't have any weapons. And we just saw Aaron Rodgers play with a team that we thought had good weapons, and the Jets won five games.
Little cap space, maybe get someone with them. Maybe Devontae. Devontae still got that beautiful house on
back?
The corner.
And
why not?
He just asked for a trade. It hasn't even been a full season.
That Chrisman ornament will be recent all of a sudden.
But actually, he loves the area. He loves Vegas.
Who doesn't? So do I.
I think his family still is there, isn't it?
Yeah, but he kind of, you know, like blew his way out of town. Do you think that some relationships were severed?
He spent about a year and a half longer in Vegas than anyone would expect him to. No, I think he's okay there.
Maddie said he said he would go back. Is that true? Do they want him back, though?
Well, I mean, I think him and Rod, the idea that they're a package is going to be out there this offseason. I don't know if it's true. But EJ brings a good point. Like, who are your receivers? You do have Brock Bowers.
Absolutely. One thing, though, I think I saw this with the Jets. I think also if you're bringing Aaron Rodgers in there, I think the stupidest thing you could do is pair him with Devontae Adams again. Because I watched how that tore apart the Jets locker in the end of the season. Garrett Wilson basically was like, if this guy's back, I want out. Like, it's because there's that synergy with them, and Aaron Rodgers feels like when all is lost, let me just force feed Devontae Adams and good things may happen. And I don't think these guys are not what they were 5 years ago when they were winning MVPs and going to the NFC Championship game. Well, like, these guys are a diminished version of themselves.
Wait, I saw him have a 200-yard game.
Against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Who were not playing for much. Here's the thing about, I think what Rodgers, let's just play this out. Say he would go to the Raiders, because yesterday at the press conference, Pete Carroll was talking about this real expedited timeline. We got to win right away. He's telling Max Crosby, you got to go out there and recruit and get free agents to come here and all of that stuff. Then Rodgers can't run the offense where the receivers have to read his mind. And it's like, if I wiggle my finger this way, it means this. And if I waggle my finger that way, but that was last week, and now this week I'm going to wiggle, not waggle, and waggle. It's like, it's too much. You got to run something that everybody can get the hang of quickly, because that's one thing also that sunk them in New York. You actually had some talent with wide receiver, and they were never on the same page. It was like, have you ever met Garrett Wilson? And I think it was because all that pre-snap Rodgers hand signals like just took way too long for other guys to figure out.
Well, also that offense just doesn't, whatever Nathaniel Hackett was running, it just doesn't promote easy completions. There's no motion. Right. There's no, like, everything is, we're going to read a defense and you're going to run a route based on what Aaron Rodgers thinks you should run in that moment. And like you said, it's hard to pick up on that. I think the Shanahan offense, like Pearl talks about, is very friendly to that, because it's kind of easy to pick up, I think, for a lot of receivers.
Well, Rodgers comes from the McCarthy, Reed, West
Coast.
Yeah,
but the thing is, LaFleur basically wants to run that, and Rodgers basically was doing his own thing. The reason why he likes Love is because Love is just running the offense, right? Like, that's what they've been saying, and they've been doing it with receivers that a lot of people didn't think were that good, and now those guys have been okay. So I watched in New York, like I saw this offense take shape with Aaron Rodgers being basically the head of it. It just does not work.
Well, I disagree with one sense. Once he got healthy for a second, look at his numbers the second half of the season. He dramatically improved because he wasn't limping around the field. I think he got way better. Look at his stats the last 8 games.
The only thing about that, though, is it was too little too late also at that point, because even though his stats were good, they still weren't winning.
Right, but it showed marked improvement is my point.
That's fine, but again, Pete Carroll yesterday was very clear. First season, they got to turn this thing around right now. I think you've got to simplify things. As much as Rodgers may not want to hear that, he may have to. 855-212-4227. So that's a little on the Raiders.
Always interesting.
I think it's the most interesting hire of the cycle.
Yeah, but I can't wait to see to turn off the Chargers-Raiders game in Week 9 when they're 2-7.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
You don't want Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll 2.0. We saw them Seattle versus the 49ers. Like, this was fun.
I heard, by the way, I listened to a lot of Mark Davis. I heard same things that I've always heard from the Raiders. He actually spent a big chunk of time talking about how they got screwed over with John Gruden. Like, he did a 10-minute interview. I guess he doesn't do a lot of interviews. He talked to the press, and nothing's going to change there. I know Tom Brady's there. I'm telling you, this is going to be the same team in 5 years that it is now. I do not believe in the Brady transformation. I'm on the record.
Screwed over by John Gruden. I wonder whose fault that was.
Yeah, right. Yeah, John Gruden had nothing to do with it. You put it in the emails. I mean, I guess you're surprised that they saw the light of day, but I don't know.
Listen. I didn't say it. Mark Davis said it. Yeah, I mean, what do you expect? Yeah. Are you surprised?
No, it's just funny. I mean, he hired John Gruden. This idea, oh, man, we got screwed by John Gruden.
He said the NFL screwed them by taking away John Gruden.
Gruden even after those emails were released.
You misheard me. I mean, he said that Gruden was stolen from them, from the NFL, in so many words.
Oh, yeah,
he was mad at the NFL, not mad at Gruden. Yeah. He's like, this was all going to work, but they took Gruden away from me.
How about just a quick thing? Gruden now is working for Barstool, and they watch like live games, and he's there, and he's giving commentary, and he was lamenting about the commercials.
Yeah, so
I'm like,
funny.
Are you serious? Thank you.
That was
start
so
a petition.
Funny. Because I think his whole life he's been watching film where he didn't have to watch commercials.
There's so many commercials. Like, yeah, John, it's tough on this side.
That was, by the way.
And they all have Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce in them.
That was one of the most genuine moments I've seen from a coach. Like, he was us on that couch.
Could you imagine John Gruden saying, Bundaruski, Bundaruski?
I still can't believe Andy Reid says it.
Jerry's eating rice.
That one I like a little more. The Bundaruski, I've thought about that. Oh. How did that come together where they're like, all right, coach, this is what we're going to need you to say. And he's like, all right, I'm on board.
Yeah. He didn't care. It's weird.
His eyes are so bugged out when he says it, too. It's so displeasing.
It's so weird.
I just don't see how that got through. Like, did Mahomes call in a favor? Was he like, coach, I really need this from you?
Well, they did the mustache one, and I guess Andy Reid was like, I kind of like this. I'm getting kind of some good attention. Then they push it too far.
I think it just, the envelope has just been blown to bits.
I mean, there is a funny commercial when Eli goes, ha ha. I know Peyton goes, Eli, now you have to be a quarterback like me and your dad. You're not going to get to be a kicker. That is laugh out loud funny. That commercial, I don't know what the heck they're doing. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No idea what they're selling. Goes,
the FanDuel kick of destiny, Rob Gronkowski was doing.
But just the line, Eli, now you're going to have to be a quarterback like me and dad, and you're not going to get to be a kicker.
Peyton, I can make my own decisions. I'm 44 years old now.
I'm sorry, the Eli little brother joke will never get old.
855-212-4227. Okay, so the Raiders and Pete Carroll, he's talking about turning this around quickly. Can he do it? And what about Perloff's idea to bring Aaron Rodgers in as a quick fix? Again, 855-212-4227. We didn't get to it yesterday because there was so much going on. The M&P 500 comes your way next. Whose stock is up and whose stock is down after a big weekend?
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, M&P 500, stock up, stock down. Maggie, get us started. Whose stock is up after a classic sports weekend?
You know, amazing sports weekend, and I got to say, I got to eat a lot of crow on this one. I said he would be the first coach fired this season. And in fact, he's one of the two coaches in the Super Bowl, and that is Nick Sirianni. Still don't know what he does around there. Still not sure.
He's the vibes guy,
I guess. And who am I to argue with it? Stock up, Nick Sirianni. I thought that he was just dead man walking and they couldn't wait to replace him, but it turns out he's going to two Super Bowls as a head coach. Pretty awesome. Stock up, Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with the numbers now. I'm not sure I can explain it either, but I'm starting to think like he might be like the secret savant genius coach. He might be the second best coach in the entire NFL behind Andy Reid right now. Okay, I'm going with a similar stock up. And this one's going to come off as obnoxious in hometown, but I got to give Eagles fans and the city of Philadelphia a gigantic stock up. They all crowded on the street, and yes, there was violence, and some people were hurt, but it could have been much worse. I was surprised. I was waiting for the headlines of things, terrible things. Yes, people fell off poles and were injured, and yes, you know, that people were arrested all over the place. This was relatively benign for a Philadelphia mob scene. No.
I mean, it could
have been worse. Point to me the most embarrassing thing, except for they ripped a cap off a Commanders fan's head. That was ridiculous. But generally, I've seen more embarrassing Eagles weekends, Maggie.
Because nobody ate horse poop?
It's a very, very low bar. Oh. It's a very low bar. Stock up means the stock is up. It was a penny stock, and now it's worth three pennies.
There's no bar. Like, I don't even... You don't get credit for this, because you guys didn't...
We didn't come in Monday morning talking about how poorly behaved the Eagles fans were. That is a gigantic victory.
We could have.
Not really. They all crowded into Broad Street. And
Eagles!
Yeah, it wasn't so... Thank you, Mayor. It wasn't so bad.
It wasn't so bad.
Yeah, this is how the stock market works. Stock up and stock down. Sometimes there are companies that are in the toilet for years, and then they have a decent quarter. That's what we had on Sunday night.
Well, bump.
E-A-G-L-E-S.
Bogus got it right. Okay. Well, if the stock goes up, then the stock's got to come down. And embarrassing moments at introductory press conferences is a cottage industry in sports. Gives us some of our most amazing memories. Liam Cohen, you might not know much about him because he's never been a head coach anywhere. Trying to ingratiate himself into the loyal fans in Jacksonville by giving him a chant.
Duval.
Ooh.
Duval.
Swing and a miss.
Duval.
Ooh. Nope. That's not how they say it at all.
Duval.
It's only slightly better without the visual of his creepiness saying it.
It's not a good look for him. And he'll get past it. And if they come out and win their first three games or whatever, it'll be fine. But it is just awful to watch. It makes my skin crawl.
Duval.
I mean, is it worse than Sirianni's opening press conference?
Well, he was just talking about how he's got fertilizer and he's got to plant everything in the fertilizer. That was silly.
Yeah, I mean, I think you spent a year making fun of Sirianni and now two Super Bowls. So
I know, I ate the crow. But Liam Cohen is just, he offered this too. No one was like, hey, do you want to give the fans a little Duval chin? Yeah. He was like, here I go. He got up there 2 minutes into his press conference and that's how they say it.
You know what's funny about yesterday? Everyone was calling Liam Cohen this giant nerd because of the way he presented himself. Like, you ever seen highlights of Liam Cohen? That guy had a cannon. He was a total baller as a football player, which is so funny because he kind of looks like a nerd. Almost like as if I was a head coach.
I mean.
But I'm like, this guy's a football guy? And then you like see, he's like, I think he's an all-time leading passer at his college. Like,
yeah, do you remember where his college is?
Yeah, UMass, but he was throwing to Victor Cruz. Like, watch a highlight of him. He's incredibly athletic. It's the most bizarre thing you've ever seen. He looks like the least athletic head coach of all 32, right?
Yeah.
Nobody else see that?
And now he's like a horror movie character. Like, he says that before he names you.
The Duval. Last thing you hear before the battle axe just lands right on your head.
Duval. Duval. Yeah,
before you're chained to the radiator in his basement, you hear Duval.
Well, I was surprised. Doesn't everybody like this hire? I thought this was like one of the top hires. I mean, it's kind of like you needed a fresh OC into that place, and you could not hire. You needed offense. Like, you definitely need somebody who can run something there.
The one thing I'm interested in is, A, did Trevor Lawrence, was he the one who said, I want Liam Cohen?
I'm sure.
And I like Trevor Lawrence kind of standing up for himself because the Urban Meyer stuff was a disaster. Doug Peterson, just kind of didn't work.
Yeah, it was okay.
They got the playoffs. They have an all-time great comeback in the playoffs, and then I don't know what happened, but something happened. And so I kind of like Trevor Lawrence, like, taking some ownership of his career, if this is true. But the one, we have no idea if he's going to be any good. And
but the trends point to, like, this is what works in the NFL right now. You know, Kevin O'Connell, all these guys. It's like the McVay army is doing really well.
Yeah, the only problem is I thought yesterday he came in, he's like, my number one and biggest priority is the quarterback. It's going to be all about the quarterback. And if I'm someone else on that team, it's like, hey, I get it.
Yeah.
Quarterback's important. He's making $250 million, but, it's a team sport.
Well, it's so funny because Ben Johnson said the exact same thing, literally word for word, and Tom Brady said the same exact thing in Vegas. The intelligentsia right now is it all starts. The only way to get sustained success in the NFL is quarterback. And, you're right. That is an interesting, but what is the rest of the team? But they're all saying the same thing. There's got to be something there.
Who's your stock down?
My stock down is Dan Quinn, Commander's coach. I thought he was doing an amazing job this year, and he's the defensive guy. How do you let up all those points and still be great? I'm super high on Jaden Daniels, but now I'm a little worried about Dan Quinn, which I was not coming into that game. A lot of people are going after Cliff. For some reason, Cliff Kingsbury's always been an easy target, but did you guys walk away saying, that Dan Quinn thing again? Like, it just seems like there's something missing there.
I mean, Dan Quinn in big games.
Yeah, I know. I actually came in this game and I was like, well, Dan Quinn, at least he's been here before. Like, he knows how to play in this game. And no, he's not good in big games.
Well, I think this is the thing. The Commanders were so ahead of schedule, I think that you'll give it a bit of a pass. But what was the biggest issue 2 years ago when the Dallas Cowboys, when Dan Quinn was defensive coordinator, lost to the Packers?
They got blown out in the playoffs.
And why?
They can't stop the run.
What happened against your Eagles?
Well, they can't stop the run. They actually couldn't stop the pass either. Jalen Hurts had the game of his life.
But I really think Dan Quinn gets a pass now because they obviously have the quarterback, and nobody expect them to be in the NFC Championship game. That's crazy.
No, I know, but it's just like he went from coach of the year kind of candidate to, he's Dan Quinn. So I don't know. I'm just not sure about him.
Andrew Bogish has headlines. Got any stock up, stock down?
I guess stock up for the Knicks.
94 to 70. Knicks lead the Grizzlies. Still 3.5 to go in the third quarter. Brunson step back, right wing triple. Got another one. Jalen Brunson with 20. and he's knocked down 4 3-pointers.
What are we doing here? The Knicks, a 143-106 destruction of the Grizzlies last night. Second straight game scoring 143. Sheesh. For Brunson and friends.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You see how we react on the bench. It's always fun when you see everyone out there playing well, playing great, and it's fun.
Whatever. The Knicks have won 4 straight overall. Memphis was on a 6-game win streak.
Oh, yeah.
Giannis and Dame each scored 35 as the Bucks coasted through Utah 125-110. Minnesota topped Atlanta 192, and the Cavs snapped their 3-game drought 110-91 over the Pistons. Jimmy Butler now on his third suspension this season. The Heat have sent him home indefinitely as their staring contest continues. Butler apparently walked at a shoot-around yesterday after being told he was out of the starting lineup. His teammates then went out and fought off the Magic 125-119 in double OT.
Wait, can I ask another question? How could Jimmy Butler expect to be in the starting lineup? You've been a gigantic headache for this team for the better part of a month. You think you're going to waltz in and be like, here you go. Would you like to play 40 minutes tonight?
I'm not sure. That's
delusional. Only superstars can think this way.
I'm not sure that's what he's trying to achieve here. I don't think it's all about the starting lineup. I think it's about getting out of town, right? Just finding any excuse to get out of there.
Sure. So maybe he's like, oh, I'm not starting. I'm going to walk out. Yeah. I'm going to storm out of here in a huff.
I think he was looking for a reason to storm out in a huff. He would have found something. You think it was because I'm not starting? I mean, how many times has he stormed? By the way, like, what do they need to see from him? Like, why did they keep bringing him back? I didn't know that he was unsuspended. Has he been playing?
No. He missed the 7 games. He played 2 or 3, then the 2-game suspension for missing the flight. I don't know if he played after that, and then yesterday happens.
You know, sometimes I don't have a lot of sympathy for professional athletes when it comes to distractions like this. Real life distractions, things going on in your personal life, I get. But they're able to compartmentalize. In this case, I get it. This is the stupidest thing that the team is doing. Bringing him back, having him go. Stupid flights. Like, what do you think's going to happen? There's no way this ends well.
So the flight was his fault. Do we think the team did this yesterday hoping to get a response from him to then punish him again? You think they were poking the bear?
Oh, maybe. And he fed right into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pat Riley's old school. I could see him just being like, you know what? Because you were suspended, now you're not starting. And like not caring whether or not Jimmy was going to blow up or not about it.
Man. Oh. NBA, come get some.
So this all is going to happen next Thursday at noon, right?
Probably.
Is it noon or 4?
I don't think it's noon. I think it's more later afternoon.
Okay.
Who do you think will be interviewing while this is going down?
That's a great question. I hope it's someone Miami-related. Like, I hope it's like Tyreek Hill or something like that. Or like Tua Tagovailoa.
But I don't think, honestly, I don't think that Jimmy Butler gets traded. Headline is even going to be a big headline. We were there at the Super Bowl when James Harden got traded to the Sixers. Like, I think people are so over Jimmy Butler.
I was over James Harden. So were you.
Well, I mean, there was some meat left on the bone there with Jimmy Butler. There's just no way that anyone can get excited about this right now, right? I mean, Butler's 35. I think Harden was 30 at the time.
I mean, again, I would say if you say Jimmy Butler's going to the Celtics or he's going to the Thunder, I think people would be like, oh, snap, okay. This is a massive shift. Like, it's just, that's not going to happen. That's my issue with it, is it's going to take him going to a team that's already floundering to go on some magical run in the second half of the season. And you have to believe that that's possible at his age with those other guys he'd be playing with. It's just a lot of leaps I have to make to get excited about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Bogues, what else you got?
The Saints still need a head coach. They flew to Philly yesterday to interview Eagles OC Kellen Moore. The Lions need an OC with Ben Johnson gone, and Johnny Morton's apparently their focus. Morton was the Broncos' passing game coordinator this season. He was on Dan Campbell's staff before that and has run offenses for the Jets and USC during his coaching career. Cooper Flagg being unimpressive again last night.
Cooper comes to set a screen. Proctor turns it down, sends it to Cooper on the right. Thought about a three. Holding it. Steps to the top of the key. 12 to shoot. He'll take it. Hit it! And he's fouled! How about that?
Anybody can do that. David Shumate from Learfield.
Flag beat NC State.
Flag scored 23 of his 28 in the second half. His second-ranked Duke did beat NC State 74-64.
I actually watched every second of this game. There is an issue with Cooper Flag.
What is it?
Has anyone watched his mother? Does anyone know about this? She
what?
Stands over the huddle from the third row and stands up and is listening to the whole huddle. And apparently, she coaches him like almost during the game. This is the most interventionist college bomb I've ever seen in my life. I was laughing so hard. The announcers were talking about it. They're like, they're the nicest people, but do not mess with Cooper Flagg's mom. Like, she is like a super coach on the floor.
The basketball genes come from her?
I think so.
Both parents?
I think she might be. Oh, they're both. Well, his dad kind of looks like him.
Yeah.
And he's gigantically tall. But his mom is, she sits, and maybe I have this wrong, but two rows behind the huddle. And is standing during the timeout, and she's awesome. The announcer said, like, they are really, really involved and really nice Maine people.
Yeah, Kelly Flagg played at the University of Maine, scored 1,200 points in high school, was a team captain.
Yeah.
Made the NCAA tournament.
Is she a coach? They were implying that she had coaching background or some kind of principles. Like, she basically taught Cooper everything he knew.
You know what they say about those basketball moms from Maine? You better watch out.
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
Oh, big time.
How many basketball moms come from Maine?
Just one, Cooper Flagg.
Just Kelly Flagg?
Can I give you guys a quick trivia? Because I'm studying college basketball. I'm going to be ready for March.
That's the answer to every question. Yeah.
Prairie View A&M.
Where do you think last year's darling DJ Burns is playing right now? The NC State big man.
Oh, yeah. I love DJ Burns.
Yeah, I loved it too. They flashed Cinderella a graphic story, of where he NC was. State.
Turkey.
Nope. Close.
Iran?
Nope.
Saudi Arabia.
No, it's South Korea.
South Korea.
Oh, boy, Turkey's close.
Yeah, well, I was just like a random country. I just like, that guy was the best player in college basketball last year, and he can't even sniff the end of an NBA roster.
Not that. He's not even in Europe.
I know he's in South Korea. I'm like, that guy was unguardable for a month, and now he can't. I thought
even
he would
China?
Be a borderline NBA player. No?
Not yet.
I just think it just points out how hard it is to make the NBA, and Bronny is there.
Bronny actually dropped 31 in a G League game the other day.
Put somebody on a poster.
He had a dunk was ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw that dunk. Wow, 31. Oh, maybe there's something there.
I saw somebody breaking that down, that the G League plays less defense than the NBA, so there's almost impossible to like digest what anyone's doing in that league.
It's facts.
Now,
it's
he's true. Better. He's like, he looks more confident. But him scoring 30 in the G League is, I don't know what, in like 11 in an NBA game?
Look at that. That'd be amazing if he got 11.
Randomly?
True.
Wait, I'm sorry. Back to Kelly Flagg for a second.
Oh, sure.
Cooper Flagg's mom.
Yeah.
So I'm on her Twitter feed right now. are we taking her into consideration when you're drafting him? Like, we've got a vocal mom on our hands. No,
but apparently she's lovely. This is what the announcer was saying. Like, she's super cool.
While she's cursing out John Shire.
Right.
She's a lovely woman.
Except for the 40 minutes that a basketball game is happening in college.
I made a bunch of assumptions based on about 14 seconds of footage that the dad sits back and lets the mom do the work. It's one of those couples. I don't know if you guys are like, she's the one, like, the dad's like, I can't help you with Kelly. I'm sorry.
I apologize to my wife.
Yeah.
She's a bit of a nut job.
She looks like, not a nut job, but she looked like she was ready to jump out on the court and cover somebody. Like, she was really intense, which is cool. I mean, that's how I would be as a parent. I mean, why do you think Cooper Flagg's awesome? I think it's Kelly Flagg.
So she's just intense, not overbearing?
Well,
not Tom Marinovich.
There's this visual of her leaning sort of over the huddle. I'm like, what is happening here? Is she listening to John Shire talk to the team? It seemed that way.
Was it? Didn't Iverson's mom sit in the front row and yell at people?
Probably.
I don't think she was calling plays.
She was braiding his hair on the bench. Oh.
Yeah. Marbury's mom, too.
Sports tradition like no other, right? Like, the mom's getting involved or dad's getting overly involved. If you were a coach or an owner, would you want parents around?
I'd ban them.
What?
I'd ban them is crazy.
Ban them into the suite.
Oh, that's
like, here,
harsh.
I've got a nice suite for you to sit 70 rows up.
I bet you NIL makes it even worse, too, because the parents are probably like, hey, let's get some money, and oh, my God.
Cooper's car wash in Durham, North Carolina.
You think Kelly's the general manager?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, man. I didn't know about Kelly Flagg.
Yeah, no, it was my reporting last night. I didn't know about it either.
Reporting.
Yeah. Cooper did have a nice two-handed dunk I thought you guys were going to bring up, too.
Think about what Prof said. I actually watched every minute of that game, and there's one big problem, and it's Cooper Flagg's mom.
Well, I know where NC this State was going. Is I had not, the dunk button
not,
ready.
Yeah. NC State's not great this year, and they kind of pushed Duke, who's number two in the country. you know, whatever. We all have to, what is it? The game's going to be over on Sunday. We're all going to have to focus here, people.
I've been focusing, Pearl.
Whatever. Shut up, EJ. We're all going to have to focus here. It's time to learn. I guess the SEC is good at basketball this year. That's what I'm hearing out there on the streets.
So much more to do, including somebody's futures hanging in the balance in terms of the NFL. We get to that next. Not exactly sure his coordinates right now. Maybe at the Malibu house. Perloff, you know he doesn't get good cell reception at the Malibu house.
Terrible.
Everybody knows
cell
that.
Reception.
Everyone except for the Packers front office, apparently. But that's old business. New business is that Aaron Rodgers' new head coach was meeting the media yesterday. That'd be Aaron Glenn. And he said the Jets have communicated with Rodgers, but as far as a decision, not so fast.
We're looking forward to that process. I can't tell you how long that process would be. But the thing is, we're going to make sure we get the right answer. And we're not going to rush through this answer. We're going to get the right answer.
Okay. More from Aaron Glenn saying that the Jets rebuild is much, much larger than just the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
Here's what I do know. Aaron Rodgers will be talked about. It will be talked about. We've already texted that communication with Aaron Rodgers. And as we continue to look at the roster, we'll make decisions accordingly. And that's what a number of people, right, on the team.
Did he say text? We've already texted with Rodgers? Has Rodgers texted back?
I read saw a report that they're in talks.
Mm. So did you tell Adam Schefter to lose my number?
The two-way thing. Yeah.
Let's hear from Woody Johnson, who's the owner of the Jets, says he will leave the Rodgers decision to the new regime.
I'm going to leave that to them. You know, they've got to take a look at how the team's composed and what they think they need and put all that together.
Okay, more from Johnson saying he would welcome Rodgers back if the regime wants him back.
Absolutely. Yeah, if he wants him, if they want him back, Aaron's a talent for sure. He's a Hall of Famer.
You definitely wanted him benched at one point during the season. You know, nobody's ever really cleared up, Perloff, the friction between Rodgers and the owner and how much was there and did it ever get resolved?
Yeah, I mean, we know that Rodgers is buddies with his brother, Chris, right? You know, that the game they wanted to bench him at after the Broncos, I think there is an argument where Woody said he's hurt, why are we playing him? I mean, because, you know why? Because he was hurt. He was not himself. And that day was particularly rainy. That was a bad day for an old man like me and Aaron Rodgers. Actually, you've said this too. Like, he's clearly coming back because what on earth other option is there? They're not going with Tyrod Taylor. They're just not starting him week one. It's just, that seems unfathomable to me because, like, what's the option then? You're going to be a 7-10 team and he'll win you some games, but he won't be bad enough to lose enough. It's got to be Aaron Rodgers.
It's either Aaron Rodgers or maybe some kind of, maybe they trade up. Maybe there's a Shador Cam Ward. I have no idea.
It's going to be too hard for them to get up there.
They'd be picking 7th right now. I don't know. Las Vegas is picking 6th. And I don't, up until Pete Carroll's press conference yesterday where he started talking about winning right away, I thought maybe the Raiders would want to move up. You have no idea. That's all to be determined. I always said, or I've been saying, I think the Jets would be lucky to have Rodgers back because you need him for 1 year, right? And even you think he's going to be better this year.
I think he's going to be good. I think he'd be better at another team, but I think he'd be good with the Jets. I think he has a chance to be great somewhere else.
Okay. This is what is very, very important for how Aaron Rodgers can help the Jets this year. They have to make the playoffs. And starting Aaron Glenn in year one, making the playoffs is the best thing that you can possibly do for him. Because I'm a little familiar with this market, and so is he. And the way that you ingratiate yourself into the market is you got to come in and you have to win immediately. If not, you're going to be in the dustbin of history like all the other horrible coaches. You've got to come in and at least make the playoffs right away, even if you sneak in as a 7th seed.
Why? The Jets have to make the playoffs next year? They're 5-12 last year.
I'm telling you, they have to make the playoffs.
Or what?
Or this Aaron Glenn, like, tenure is going to be off to a really bad start, and he probably won't survive it. I'm telling you, it's that important. Because
really?
Everyone is waiting for it to fail. That's it. You're not going to get the benefit of the doubt here. You're not going to get the benefit of time. You're not going to get the benefit of anything. They have to make the playoffs the first year if he has any prayer of surviving.
But won't he get a new quarterback the second year?
He'll have to. but you have at least have to stabilize things. It's important. 855-212-4227. We get back to the Chiefs in just a moment. And can they get the public back on their side before the Super Bowl? We'll talk about that next. M&P.